Thank you, Dwight. And you probably are already wondering what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And I think it is something that probably does need to be discussed, and too often times we shy away from those difficult passages in the Bible. And the lesson tonight has to deal with the subject of, do we, is it possible, can we communicate with the dead? Now, I know that sounds strange to you, but quite often in today's world, there are many who believe that they have such powers. They are such spiritualists, as they call themselves. They believe that they have the ability to reach into that spirit world where the departed saints of God are and communicate with them. Sometimes people go to the grave of a loved one, and we talk to them as if they're there, and they're really not there. Their spirit has gone to be with God. One of the great stories of the Bible is a story that unfolds, and it's recorded by the pen of Luke, and it's the only time that we have record of it in all of the Bible. It's found in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, and if you want to open your Bibles to that tonight, we're going to give you some passages here, beginning in verse 19 through 31. It is a story, actually, about a man who was quite wealthy. He was a man who had everything at his disposal. Life was going good for him. He certainly didn't lack for anything, but everything in the world that he wanted, he had available to him. The Bible just simply calls him a rich man. But on the other hand, in this story, there's another man, and he's called Lazarus. And the Bible tells us that Lazarus was an individual who had some kind of physical malady that produced boils all over his body. Maybe it could have been likened unto something that happened to Job in the Old Testament. You remember when Job was plagued from the crown of his head down to the soles of his feet? And there was no remedy? We don't really think there was, probably, with this Lazarus as we know him in the book of Luke, chapter 16. But this story unfolds by telling us that this rich man died. After having lived the good life, and he passed by Lazarus every day, he saw him, but he didn't have compassion on him. He didn't do anything for him. He didn't reach out to him with all of his wealth. And he just continued to pass on by every day. But in the passing of time, the Bible tells us that the rich man died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he begins a communication process with God like no other. He begins to pour out his heart to God. Perhaps he'd never done that before. Certainly, you wouldn't expect that of a man who had no compassion on those who were less fortunate. And certainly, there's no evidence in this passage at all that the man had a relationship with God. And so in the passing of time, he dies and he's buried, and in hell, he lifts up his eyes and he begins this communication with Father Abraham, or God. And he begins to ask God to send Lazarus, who also died, by the way, back to his five brethren back home and to warn them of this awful place called torment. And God says unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, well, if one were to rise from the dead like Lazarus and go back and warn them, then they would believe. And God says, no, they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe. Lazarus, however, was born by the angelic forces of heaven into the bosom of Almighty God. Now, the reason I determined to speak on this subject tonight is because I really believe it is one that really ought to be considered. There is so much spiritualism in the world today, and people who actually believe that they can communicate with the dead, and certainly there is no evidence in all of the Bible. As a matter of fact, there are even strong warnings and admonitions not to even attempt to do so. There's a lot of documentaries on television and certainly even in movies which indicate people actually believe that they can talk to the dead. There are many people who are convinced that their loved ones are in heaven and that they actually receive messages from time to time from their loved ones. There was a television show some time ago that dealt with a man who claimed to be some kind of spiritualist who could really communicate with the dead, and he would bring people on their show and he would begin to tell them that he had received a message from their long-lost grandmother who was telling him to communicate this message unto their granddaughter and vice versa. You know, I mean, all of this kind of stuff went on. And he claimed to have those kind of miraculous powers that enabled him to be able to communicate with the deceased. There are messages beyond the grave, however, but they are written in word form. They are not given to people through direct revelation. One such example is this case of Luke chapter 16. Now, there are a number of lessons to be learned in this 16th chapter of the book of Luke about this idea of whether or not we really communicate with the dead, and I want to share those with you tonight. First of all, I would tell you that we learn that there is no communication from those who have died. Absolutely none. Well, the rich man wanted God to send someone to warn his brothers. Now, he's asking for a miracle. He's asking God to send Lazarus back to his brothers. And Jesus said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. If they will not believe the written word from the dead, they would not believe the audible word that might penetrate their ears. There was no communication between the rich man and his brothers, or between Lazarus and the rich man's brothers. Such attempts to communicate with the dead are actually forbidden in the Bible. If you were to go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and read verses 9 through 14, you would find where God actually condemns it. And so all modern claims of spiritualism, the belief that the living can actually communicate with the dead, such as those of the New Age movement, are to be rejected. People ask me all the time, you know, don't you believe that I can communicate with my loved ones who have gone on before? I talk to them every night. I've heard people say that, well, I lay in the bed and I talk to my loved ones. Well, we know that that's impossible. If the Bible condemns it, and nowhere in the Word of God does God ever give us the authority to do it or the right to do it, how in the world do we believe that we can make such an assumption that it even happens to begin with? But there's another thought here, another message, and that is that man does not cease to exist after his death. Now, even though we have lost the communication process, and even though we cannot communicate with the dead are still very much alive. This passage, to me, is one of the clearest texts in the Scriptures that reveal what happens after death. You ever thought about that? Of all the great passages in the Bible that talk about our physical demise, Hebrews chapter 9, 27, it's an appointment that we all are going to keep, all are going to die. Jesus said in the book of John 5, verse 28 and 29, it is going to happen. Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 21, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 9, all of these passages tell us that you and I are going to experience death, that is, unless we are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Some religious groups teach that the wicked are annihilated after death. They believe that when their body is entombed, perhaps in a coffin or sarcophagus, or if their body is burned or cremated and placed in some kind of urn somewhere, and those ashes may be scattered in oblivion somewhere, that their spirit died with that body. It's not true. For the Bible says that when we die, our body goes back to the dust of the ground from whence it came, but the spirit returns unto God who gave it. And whether you are wicked or whether you are righteous, does not circumvent the fact that your spirit goes back to Almighty God. The rich man was not annihilated. Anything in this picture, if there is anything at all, that tells us about this rich man, he must have been some kind of wicked man. Because he spent everything that he had on himself. He fared sumptuously every day. He had the finest clothes. Everything was going his way. He probably rode in the finest chariot. But he was not right with God. But when he died, he did not experience annihilation. That is, totally dead all over. No spirit, no body. For in verses 22 and through verse 23, the rich man could see after he died. And I want you to think about that. That's always been a question. You know, is it possible for the dead to see what's going on here? I don't know. The Bible says that we were encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know how much they see. I don't know how much they're oblivious to. But I know one thing, that this rich man, when he died, knew that he had five brothers back home, and he could see them. He knew about it, knew what was going on. And in verse 24, the Bible says the rich man could even speak and even feel after death. Think about it. He's thinking. He's not in annihilation. He's thinking about what's going on back home. He's thinking about where he is, talking about his ability to feel, because he feels the pains of hell itself. The rich man could speak. He could talk. According to verse 24, he had not lost that ability. And in verses 27 through 31, he remembered his five brethren back home. He did not lose his cognitive ability. Whatever cognitive ability he might have lost, or whatever a person loses here with Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever, we know that in the eternal realm it will be restored. Man was created in the spiritual image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God formed man with an eternal spirit. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 through 9. Man has a dual nature. It is both body and soul, or body and spirit. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Fear not him that can destroy the body, but rather fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell." Death is just simply a separation of the body and the spirit. James chapter 2 and verse 26. He said, "Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works dead also." But thirdly, there's another thing that we learn from this 16th chapter of the book of Luke about whether or not we communicate with the dead. Do you realize that man has no other opportunities after death? Now, I've heard people talk about all of my life the fact that when a person dies, let's say, for instance, he died as a wicked, ungodly person. And he goes into that eternal realm, into the place that we call torment or hell. And he's in pain and he's suffering, and yet God in his mercy is going to allow him to come back and try it again. No. For the Bible in the book of Hebrews 9:27, the Word of God says that death seals our destiny. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Man will not be given a second chance after death. The fact that they could not leave their respective places refutes the doctrine of reincarnation. Now, there are a lot of people that believe in reincarnation. A lot of them believe that once you die, that God will allow you to come back in either some upper or lower class form, and that you can live again. Or you might be able to come back in another body, be born with that spirit, maybe into a child that is being born. The Jews actually believe that. You remember when Jesus had gone to Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, and he asked the apostles, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some said, "You're Jeremiah." Jeremiah had been dead for hundreds of years. Some believe that you're Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament. Elijah had been dead for hundreds of years, 700 years. And then Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" He says, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas." He said, "For flesh and blood didn't reveal it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, why would they assume that Jesus might have been Elijah or that he might have been Jeremiah, one of the prophets? Because they believed in transmigration of the soul. That is, they actually believed that when you died, that your spirit was reincarnated in another individual who was yet to be birthed into this world. You ever heard people talk about the fact that they felt like maybe they had lived before several hundred years ago? Have you ever heard people say that? John Denver sang a song a number of years ago about that same thing. Marty Robbins, by the way, and I'm a great Marty Robbins fan. But when he sang El Paso back in 1957, it became one of the great hits of all time. He sang a sequel to it. It was called El Paso City. And in that particular song, he talks about flying above the heavens, in the heavens rather, above El Paso, and all these things are coming back to him, like he's riding through El Paso, and he remembers a young girl at a bar named Felina. And how is it? You know, a lot of people believe that. They believe, you know, hey, you know, I can remember that happening, even though it's happening right now. It's something I remember. I can recall in my mind. Not so. That's delusional. A lot of people believe that. These people could not leave their respective places. And it refutes the idea of reincarnation. Now, I know a lot of people who believe they'd like to come back. I heard about a young man one time who was in school. And the teacher was going around the class and said, you know, if reincarnation is true, what would you like to come back as? And the teacher had already said, I'd like to come back as a tree. And the young man said, I'd like to come back as a lumberjack. Well, I heard one man say one time that he'd like to come back as a mosquito and haunt his mother-in-law. Well, we know that such is not the case at all. Preparation for eternity can only be made in this life, according to Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. And all of us will be judged by the things that are done here in the body. For 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says that we must all give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. There'll not be a second chance. No more opportunities after death. But number four, another message I think from this Word of God and from the eternal realm to us tonight is this. The denominational doctrine of predestination is not true. Now, there are some who espouse the idea of what we call the doctrine of election. It's a simple, I guess you could say, expression of Calvinism. John Calvin, who came up with this idea of predestination, that you're either going to heaven or hell, and nothing you can do will ever determine where you're going. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, and God's already determined that. That is a farce. The fact that the rich man's brothers could hear Moses and the prophets and repent refutes the denominational doctrine of election. The rich man didn't have to go to hell. It wasn't predestined that he go there. Nor was his five brothers. You see, the rich man recognized the need of conversion. He had lived his ungodly life. And he wanted to warn his five brothers back home not to come to this place. He didn't believe in predestination. He knew his brothers could escape going to torment if they would hear and obey God. And if people are predestinated, this could not be possible. The fact that God refused to send one back from the dead to warn the living is proof that God will not use miraculous power separate and apart from the revealed word to convert people. It's not going to happen, folks. That's why it's so important for us to preach the gospel. That's why it's so important for us to open the Holy Scriptures and preach and proclaim the message of Christ. Because what you find in this book is the answer. to life here and to the life that is yet to come. It is not summed up in what we believe about something. It is not summed up in what other people teach about it and persuade you to believe. But it is summed up in what God has said unto us. The gospel and the gospel alone, is God's power to save. Romans 1 and verse 16. And that which produces the new birth, the conversion to Christ. And the thing that motivates us to be baptized for the remission of our sins is this book. It's not what someone said when they experienced what they call a near-death experience. And they, you know, they saw lights flashing and all these kinds of things that people tell you. Several years ago, I had an uncle who died a number of years ago. And he asked me to come and read the 23rd Psalm to him in his impending departure from this life. I told Audrey about that, and after what I told her, she was convinced that these near-death experiences are not true. Because my uncle said he saw me as an angel. What are you laughing at, Dwight? The word of God thoroughly furnishes man unto every good work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. That which produces that desire for us to obey the gospel is the word of God. It is the word that stands and abides forever. One last thought. In this story of Luke 16, it is a message about the foolishness of trusting in one's wealth. Jesus didn't elaborate on it, but the indication regarding the rich man is that he was unwilling to minister to others. Our main concern should be laying up treasure in heaven according to Christ, Matthew chapter 6, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 26. The story of another young man who was quite wealthy is found in the book of Luke again, chapter 18, verse 24 through 25. We call him the rich young ruler. There was a man who thought that his riches and that his wealth benefited his soul. But God called him a fool, much like the man of Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, who gave up the ghost one night very abruptly and was called into eternity. How many are like this man? We need to ponder carefully our Lord's question. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, this story is really a message to avoid torment at all cost. This is no doubt the main lesson or message from our Lord's words. The fate of the wicked after death is simply terrifying when you think of it. The rich man was so tormented that he was begging for the slightest amount of relief in verse 24. That Lazarus may come and just dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. We must be ruthless in cutting sin away from our lives so that we can avoid the pains of torment. And those who choose, by the way, to ignore the warnings and continue pursuing their dreams at the expense of their soul must realize that there is a terrible fate that awaits them. How important it is for us to open our heart to the Word of God, to listen to God's call to discipleship, and to focus our attention upon really living the Christian life and contending for the truth, Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. There are many messages beyond the grave from the account of the rich man and Lazarus, but those are recorded for us here in the Holy Scriptures. You will not be able to communicate with the dead, nor shall they communicate with you. You see, the only communication that we really have with the eternal realm is with God. You ever thought about that? He's the only one that we are even told in the Scripture to communicate in eternity. And that's God. We're to pray unto the Father who is in heaven. Jesus taught us that in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm thankful tonight that I can communicate to the spiritual realm, not to Mary, the mother of our Lord, as some people believe, or not to some departed saint, not to my mother or to my father who have been long gone, or not to my brother and my sisters or aunts or uncles or grandparents, or departed children of God from this place through the years, but that I can communicate to my Father who is in heaven. And is it possible for him to communicate with those folks? Yes. Because you see, even the Father spoke to that man who was in hell. And he said that there's a great chasm that separates heaven from hell. And one cannot go from heaven into the jaws of hell, nor can one go from hell into heaven. God is the one to whom we communicate tonight. And how often we fail to communicate with him. I hope tonight that you'll understand the importance of communicating with the one with whom you can talk and converse, and that's God. And when we hurt, we can pour out our heart before God. And there's no question about whether or not he hears us. He does. His ear is always open, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. He's quick to listen and to respond to our needs. Maybe there's some need that you have tonight that you'd like to bring before the Father's throne. And we'll be happy to go with you tonight in prayer, as one did this morning in her response to the call of Jesus. Perhaps maybe there are others tonight that have some special need in your life, and you'd like to go into the eternal realm and pray to the Father. And you can do that through Christ tonight. And if you would like for those of us here in this audience to bow our heads together with you and offer up that petition before God, then we stand ready and willing to do that. If you're not a Christian tonight, would you obey the gospel? Avoid the pains of hell and separation from God. Every one of us have to make that choice. It's a choice that you must make. And I hope you make the right choice while we stand and while we sing.